Blog Talk Radio.
The Radiohead of Jazz, plus New York's EDM Queen with two new songs to listen to first time on the radio. It's all here today at Music Friday Live. Stay with us. From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by Solar City, your source for clean, sustainable energy. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. These bands are here to talk with you. You can call in 347-215-7511, or you can email your questions and comments if you're at work and, you know, you can't really make phone calls. That's okay. Email to musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Well, we've got, before we talk to our guest, there's a couple of things we need to kind of talk about a little bit, and that's the two passing stories that dominated the music world this week. The first one, of course, is the death of international country music icon Merle Haggard. He's one of the founders. He was one of the founders of the Bakersfield Sound with Buck Owen. And the second one is the final episode of American Idol, the reality TV show designed to find and launch music stars and also to make more money than any show in the history of television. Now, Haggard died on his birthday at the age of 79 after a life of hard knocks, including prison time, five marriages, millions made and lost. But he left a legacy of songs unmatched in any genre, most of them drawn from his own life. He was so prolific, he wrote so much, that he actually wrote a song on the way from his limo to the stage one night. It just was in his head and he had to get it out. And I just want to say, we love the songs you gave us, Merle, and we miss the ones that you're not here to write. American Idol, however, decided to go out with a splash while it was still possible, while it was still popular. Although audiences have been cut by two-thirds from their early highs of 30-plus millions. Last night, it was back in the groove with well over 10 million. More important, unlike some of its competitors, which are really platforms for the judges, not for the musicians, Idol really did launch stars. Kelly Clarkson, Alison Rajeda, who was on this show not too long ago, Adam Lambert, Carrie Underwood, Clay Aiken, and many, many more were launched on Idol. Now, Idol's huge profits came not just from the sponsors like Coke, but from a new source, a share of the phone revenue from the text votes sent by viewers. In fact, AT&T claims that Idol actually taught millions of Americans how to text and helped launch a new industry. Well, regardless of the truth of that claim, there's no denying that American Idol, which was originally a British TV series, became an American institution, and it's going to be missed. Well, it's going to be missed by at least 10 million people every week. So those are the two passings this week, and we're going to move on. We're going to take a break right now to welcome in our affiliates, but when we come back, Nick Valentini, you don't know him, but you will big time. Don't go away.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. CyberStation USA, always on the go.
I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, host of Music Friday Live, and I want to welcome all of our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates. And keep in mind, if you have questions or comments for our guest, you can call us 347-215-7511, or you can email questions to musicfridaylive@gmail.com. If you're listening to us on a podcast, which I know a lot of you do, you can still email questions to our guest and we will forward them, so they can reply directly to you. So any way you want to do it, this is an interactive show. Well, another aspect of our interactivity here is that we want to remind everybody that Music Friday Live is a partner with World Arts. Now, World Arts is the global music platform that connects artists with fans and brands and industry pros. World Arts offers bands live performances, video shoots, recording sessions, and master songwriting classes. Fans can get new music. They can go to intimate shows at the World Arts venue in Culver City, California, or at other places around the country where it sponsors events. They can also meet their favorite artists. So if you're a band or a fan or a member of the music industry, you should be part of World Arts. And the way you do it is sign up, www.worldarts.com. It's free, okay? It's free. It won't cost you anything. And we're there, so you should be there too. Well, we here at Music Friday Live, we look real hard for emerging talent that has something different, something other than, you know, three guys and a girl in a garage with drums and guitars trying to be indie rockers. So when we were made aware of our next guest, we paid special attention, not only because the band is only 6 months old and it's already causing a stir, but because their founding energy came from doing things differently, from experimenting. The Nick Valentini Collective plays modern fusion jazz, which is to say they're open to anything and they're so good musically that they can play it. The band's first album is now in the works. We're going to debut two songs that will be on that album. And let me just say, the band is ready to go. They've got an album in the works. They've got videos up. And best of all, their founder and leader, Nick Valentini, is here himself. And as a special surprise, he's brought along the fabulous guitar player, Nate Schwartz, and he's also joining us. Nick and Nate, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Thanks
How's
for having
going,
us.
Patrick?
It's going well. If you guys could talk separately, not together, right?
Yes.
That works a lot better. Okay. Now, Nick, I'd like to know a little bit about the collective and how it was formed. You know, when we did our research here, it seems like this is kind of the UCLA Musica Mafia.
Right, yeah. It happens to be that we're all close buddies, and we all happen to be associated through the UCLA music scene. And I started, you know, I've always been writing songs for as long as I could remember, but when I jumped into UCLA, I met a couple of these guys, Nate being one of them, and we started playing in a completely different band. As that progressed, we just kind of expanded. I wanted to personally expand the sound, and there's just so many amazing artists and musicians that we had at our disposal at that school. And not only that, is that we all happen to be really close friends. So that's how the band kind of started. And we all come from different musical backgrounds, and we all share like a similar goal for music, and we all want to be creative and be unique in our own way. And that's kind of what the band is all about, but it really starts from keeping the music as the foremost important thing and trying to be different, because we live in a society and a world that, you know, everything tends to be pretty cyclical and singular, but we kind of want to break away from that and express ourselves in a new, different way.
You call it a collective, but it seems like you've got a fairly permanent lineup of people, or is this fluid? Do people come in and out of the band?
No, at this point we're pretty, you know, there's seven to eight of us that are pretty consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that it's always going to be like that, or we're not going to add new people. But at the moment, I think collective is just fitting for us, just because we want to keep it, you know, kind of as a group, and we're open to really anything, but for the most part, there's seven of us that are always playing together.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you, were you about to say something, Nate?
Oh, no, that was just agreeing.
Okay. All right. Now,
yes.
You guys, the band has been in existence for a little over 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened in the past six or so months that has caused such a stir? What have you been doing to get so many people talking about you?
Oh, man. Nate, if you want to grab this one.
Oh,
jump in, Nate.
Well, I mean, we've been recording a little bit. Actually a pretty good amount. We recorded a lot last summer. And then kind of as we expanded, the lineup of the group and added horn players, added another percussionist, Tyler Wenstrom, who plays percussion and synthesizer. It just kind of the writing process changed, and we, we kind of realized internally that there was a chemistry among the people in the band that I think is hard to come by. I played in a lot of bands growing up, and I can tell you firsthand that it is not every day that you encounter a band of a big band of seven people where everybody's musically and emotionally on the same page and intellectually on the same page. And as soon as we, started feeling that, we all became pretty invested in this project in particular. We've just been trying to write and play shows and get some of our first music videos out there. Carousel was, I think that was a big kind of kick of momentum for us, the release of that video, which we were fortunate enough to have the beautiful animation for. And so now we're just kind of continuing to ride this momentum that's come off of that, and we're glad that it's happening at all.
Well, you mentioned Carousel, and we're going to play Carousel. However, I've got one up here that I want to play a little bit of. This is Mr., and I'm told that this is one of the two songs that we're playing today that will be heard on the album. This is Mr. Now that is a kind of a complex piece of music, or should I say, parts of it are complex,
right,
and parts of it kind of deceptively simple. You have fitted together the puzzle pieces of a guitar, keyboard, or piano, brass, percussion, and of course vocals. Did that piece emerge organically, or did somebody have to sit down and write it?
Well, that song originally came just from piano and vocals. So it's, if you listen to it, it is very simple. It's a simple song. But with simple songs, you can really create elaborate pieces. I mean, some of the most beautiful works are simple. So that it kind of just started where for most of these songs, the basis is there. And then it just, when you have amazing musicians and creative minds, and not only one or two, but seven of us, that we can all just sit down and create our own little part. You can really create a sophisticated sounding material from a simple bass. And that's where most, especially Mr., where, you can play that. I could play that on piano and vocals, and it would sound great. But, to really add a string orchestration and to add, Nate's guitar riffs, that these are planned things that we do sit down, and a lot of it, we like to have our improvisational pieces, but for the most part, we can really sit down and create specific parts.
Well, in that song, right around the 3-minute mark, you get into kind of a power rock beat, which is really
right. Nice.
Now, did you throw that in because it was so much fun for both the players and the listeners, or did you kind of strategically plan it?
No, that wasn't a strategically planned. That was something.
I think
where,
that was just Nick Velez, yeah.
Yeah,
that was just the drummer,
who's the drummer, right?
Feeling.
Yeah.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, it really works well. Now you mentioned Carousel. So I want to bring Carousel in because, and for our audience, it's not the Broadway musical, okay? okay. So we're going to play a little bit of Carousel here. totally different, of course, than Mr. Now, when I say the title to that, you know, when I saw the title to that and then I played it, I had to find the lyrics and make sure I was hearing what I thought I was hearing. Now, you're singing about a lonely hunter on the carousel, which is quite an image. Where did that song come from?
Yeah, lyrically, a lot of these songs come from, you know, I write the music first, so I create an emotional base for whatever the lyrics come after. So whatever I was feeling when I was writing that, the lyrics came after that. And the carousel is just, you know, it kind of breaks down that whole relationship of going back and forth. But, you know, where carousel comes from is just, you know, a creative way of saying, you know, a back and forth struggle between two people, the runner and the hunter.
Yeah, and you, of course, you that metaphor is continued in the lines, we fight in shallow water, we act like we are old friends, which is another proof that of what I say, that poetry's not dead, we just call it lyrics. Now,
right.
Those lyrics are especially poignant when they're carried by some unbelievable guitar shredding towards the end, and I assume, Nate, that's you?
That's me, yes, thank you.
And it's actually, let me back up. That's not quite shredding. I'd say it's much more sophisticated and musical than shredding. Now what exactly were you doing there?
I mean, I come from it's funny, my first kind of serious musical pursuit was bluegrass mandolin. And that was before I ever started playing guitar, and I still play mandolin. And before I ever played rock music, I was playing bluegrass and jazz very intensely, and I study jazz guitar at UCLA, so I have a kind of, I guess you would say, maybe like a bastardized style of guitar that comes from really weird kind of origins, and I don't even really remember. I was probably just comping as we jazz guitarists do, and I have an affinity for dense voicings of chords. And, yeah, I don't know. I think that's the zone that I was in at the time.
Well, it was a great zone to be in. We're talking with, Nick Valentini of the Nick Valentini Collective, and also, Nate Schwartz, the guitarist with the Nick Valentini Collective. You can talk with him, or you can phone 347-215-7511, or you can email, and some of you already have emailed, but you can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Let's go to some of the emails here. Brandus in Los Angeles says, is fusing jazz and rock unusual? It seems like that shouldn't be, because they both come from the same African music. Is that true?
That's a really good point. Well, I mean, they come from, kind of different, they do come from the same African traditions that, I mean, manifested themselves in different ways, but I mean, rock also, has a strong British influence, I guess. No, she's right. The vocabulary that people are playing, especially after, Miles Davis was doing all his fusion stuff in the 60s, like rock became such a big part of the jazz sound and of the popular jazz sound. I guess it's not unusual. I wish that there was more of it. But I think we live in a day and age now where, the walls between genres are crashing down with the advent of the internet and, artists' ability to, connect more directly with their fans and combine stuff that people otherwise wouldn't, be inclined to combine. So, is it unusual? I guess maybe, but yeah, it's true. They do complement each other very well, because they do come from that tradition of rebellion, and you know, they came out of the whole civil rights movement in the 60s. So yeah,
Major in Frankie here in Hollywood wants to know, when you were at UCLA, did you study ethnic music? I understand they really teach a lot of it there.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah,
music for me, I was never a music major, but you know, I gravitated towards people who, you know, that was their focus. I didn't study music. I studied cognitive science, but you know, I felt a pull towards people who wanted to pursue music as a career. And as far as learning, studying ethnic music, I think that you can do a lot of that through listening and just appreciating what other cultures and what other people can create. And that's where kind of the band, I feel, is at, because, we have this really, we are this jazz fusion rock band, but at the same time is that doesn't, I hope it doesn't define us as a band. And I don't think it will. I think at this point we're open to any style or any form of music, whether that is jazz or rock, like Nate comes from a bluegrass. Like I want to keep everything open and available, and that's a different that's a difficult thing to do. But
it
I think in today's
it requires that everybody's an excellent technician. You're sort of like the wrecking crew of the late 50s, early 60s, which were able to play behind virtually everybody there. You've got some shows coming up, so people can see how open you are. Let's see. You've got one on the 16th at the Hotel Cafe.
You've got
one coming up at the Villains Tavern. What night is that one?
That is a Thursday on the 28th of April.
Okay, and there's one in May too, right?
Yeah, we have a couple in May. There's one on the 13th in Pasadena. That will be later in the night around 6 o'clock, and then we have May 28th at the Lost Night, which is in Echo Park.
Okay, and where should people go to find out where you're going to be seen live?
Yeah, we post a lot of stuff. I mean, that's something that I'm getting used to. But we're posting on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we have our website. It's just nickvalentini.com. But you can find our Twitter and Instagram just by typing in Nick Valentini Collective.
Okay, so go to their Facebook page, their Instagram page. I follow their Instagram page, and it's lots of fun. And that will tell you not only where they're going to play, but also where their music's available, when it's going to be available. Now, speaking of their music available, here is another one of those upcoming songs. This is called Writer's Block.
Caught in the nick of time, right into things. Please turn off the light. I need something different, something a little different.
I've been playing long cuts because your songs go through kind of adventures. They start in one place and then kind of move around through a lot of different places. They are adventures, as a matter of fact. Now, first of all, I want to ask you, in that song, do I hear a flute coming in there kind of briefly?
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
he's
I know.
Playing the whole time.
Oh, okay. All right.
Most of it.
Well, there's at one point in which it sort of moves up and it's very obvious.
Yeah.
Now I want to talk about the subject. It's not writer's block in that I can't write. It's you are a writer on the block. Now, aren't all musicians writers on the block, so to speak, or is there a particular kind of block that you're singing about on this one that you're on?
No, it's kind of, this one was kind of fun. It's kind of a clever pun. It was just something that me and my buddy were talking about. It's a bunch of riders on Rider's Block, but they're actually on a street called Rider's Block. So the idea is that there's a bunch of artists on a particular street called Rider's Block, and they all have Rider's Block. And it's just, it's just a story of a bunch of riders together that can't, they say we're all in this together. And the moment they realize that they're all stuck, that they can all begin to write again.
Okay. All right. Good. I'll go along with that. We've got some more emails here. Major in New York City wants to know, who are your favorite jazz musicians? Who are the people who inspire you? I heard somebody mention Miles Davis. Is he one of them?
Love Miles Davis. Lately I've been on a huge Charles Mingus and Eric Dolphy kick. The last person we asked about ethnic music, everybody except for Nick Valentini was an ethnomusicology major at UCLA. I'm currently a student of the ethnomusicology program. So we all
You might want to explain what. Why don't you
so
tell our audience what ethnomusicology is?
Because ethnomusicology, when you type it into a Word document, gets the little red squiggly line under it that indicates that it's not a real word. So it's basically looking at music, how it functions sociologically and anthropologically in cultures all around the world, and how it functions as a part of their social institutions.
Okay, all right. Sorry, I had to interrupt you there.
I know
what it is, but I have a feeling that most of my listeners may not have heard that before. So,
my parents still don't really know what it is.
But as long as they pay tuition, who cares? Huh?
Right.
Okay. I put a daughter through college. I know about that. All right. We've got time for one more song. And actually, the song is telling us that we don't have time because this is No Time for Tomorrow. Time for Today. Was that a song that, quickly, because we only have about 1 minute left,
was that
a song that you guys wrote before the coffee kicked in the morning?
And that's one of our earlier written pieces. that was a nice, quick and easy song that was written, but I can't remember exactly when the time of day, but yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, it works good for if you have one of those alarm clocks that plays music. That's a good song to start with. Well, Nick, we are officially out of time, Nick and Nate, and so we're not going to get a chance to talk about your big band, Nate, when you are out there. Just for our audiences, particularly our Southern California audience, Nate has a 25-piece big band, and for those of you who like big bands, you should. Keep your eye open. What's the name of the band, Nate?
Just Nate Schwartz Jazz Orchestra, and it's got a lot of the guys in the collective playing on the album we just released, which is called Exploration.
That's the Nate Schwartz Jazz Orchestra, so keep your eyes open for that one. Nick Valentini, the album will be out this summer, I understand, right?
Yeah, late July, early August.
Okay, and we've heard two songs from it, so our audience has an idea of what to look for. Tell our audience again where to go specifically to get your music and to find out where you're going to play.
For all the information purposes, just go on our Facebook, type in Nick Valentini Collective, like the page, and you'll have all the information there.
Okay. All right. In the meantime, you can catch them at the Hotel Cafe and at the Villains Tavern. Check their Facebook page and sign up for notifications of their gigs. We have to take a break right now. When we return, Salme comes back for a full interview, and we're going to debut two songs not heard anywhere else. So don't go away. You are not going to want to miss this. She's always a great guest.
World Arts brings the entire music world together on one global stage. We give artists the tools to sell and license their music, interact with industry pros, and play live to a whole new audience. Wherever they are on their journey, We want artists to get paid for what they create. At World Arts, fans can discover new songs, get exclusive rewards, and crowdfund projects for artists. Brands can offer opportunities for artists to create original content that fans can instantly vote on and share. World Arts is the global music platform where we can all rise above the noise. Take your career to the next level. Our troops aren't the only ones fighting right now. Thousands of military families are in crisis. They're fighting financial battles, how to pay the bills, even how to keep their homes and feed their children. You can help by supporting Operation Homefront, a national nonprofit that provides emergency assistance for military families and for wounded warriors when they come home. To learn more about how you can help, go to OperationHomefront.net.
And we are back at Music Friday Live. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, and of course, we always want to hear from you. You can call us at 347-215-7511, or you can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Very quickly, I want to tell you about our great sponsor. That would be Solar City, and you know that solar power is a huge win-win for homeowners, but a lot of you are reluctant to take the plunge into solar because, you know, there's upfront cost. Well, with Solar City, you can go solar for zero upfront cost on approved credit. That's right. Solar City will come out. They will install a solar system on your home for free, and you only pay for the power you use, you know, just like you do from the utility company. But your bills are lower because the sun is making a lot of that power for you, as much as half of your electricity in some cases. Solar City pays for the system. It insures the system. It maintains the system. All you have to do is sit back and enjoy those savings. And I did install solar on my house, and we did sit back and enjoy the savings. All right. It really works. So if you've been ready for solar, but solar hasn't been ready for you, it is now at Solar City, America's number one clean energy provider. How do you find out? Well, I'm going to give you a phone number. You knew that. So you have your pen and pencil ready. 909-618-6937. That's 909-618-6937. And when you you call in, tell them I sent you, and you'll get a deduction. You'll get a reduction. You'll get a discount on your bill. That's 909-618-6937. Well, last week we talked briefly with our next guest about her new single, 1-2-3-4-5, and the album she has in the works right now. Salme Dahlstrom, also known as Salme, is an electronic dance music rock artist based in the New York City area. And even if you haven't bought one of her albums or streamed her music, which you should have done by now, you have still heard her on movies and TV and ads where she excels at licensing her music. Now, we only had a few minutes to talk with her last week, so I asked her to come back today and tell us about the full album coming up, and she not only said yes, but she's going to premiere two of the songs here with us today. Salme, welcome back to Music Friday Live. Thanks for taking the time to come back.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. It's great to be back.
Well, before we talk about the new single and the new album, could you just help out this West Coast boy a little bit and all of our listeners west of New Jersey? What is the scene like where people listen to your music?
What is the scene like?
Yeah, we understand that there's these big parties in New York where your music is played, or music like yours is played.
I have to say, I suppose those parties aren't very different from parties anywhere, or, you know, around the world. As David Lee Roth said, you get enough people together, you have your own little city, and you can create your chaos. But we have these nice loft buildings, you know, in New York City with a lot of industrial buildings that, you know, aren't being used or so on and so forth. And so we have these huge loft parties where, you know, DJs come and play and bands play sometimes. So that's pretty much the scene in New York and has been for a while. It's pretty cool.
You go to those, right?
It happens, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, we have a great picture of you sitting in your production studio surrounded by, frankly, more equipment than I have in my broadcast booth. Now, I take it that's where you make your magic?
Yes. You can never have too much equipment, whatever they say. Joking aside, though, I'm a lab rat. I got into the music business because I wanted to write songs and perform and you know, move people, you know, either in a good or a bad way. But then as a second bonus, I really got interested in how the music was put together, what the job of a producer and engineer and mixer and programmer was. And I found out that I really loved that part of it, and I started doing it. I wasn't very good at it in the beginning, I have to say, but I've gotten good at it because I was really passionate about it and I spent a lot of time doing it. And these days I love being in the studio and just creating something new.
Well, it certainly shows, not only in the picture of you in the studio, but in what it is you create there. And I understand what you say about the equipment. I've looked at some of the catalogs that are put out of equipment that you can use to create the kind of music you do. And, you know, you could equip a small university with some of the things that are out there.
Well, the fun thing is that you can use a lot of gear, or you could these days use your laptop and headphones and make something great as well. What it really boils down to is whatever works for you. So sometimes when I read interviews, I read an interview with William Orbit, who produced Madonna's Ray of Light. And he's an old school guy. So and he listed what equipment he made that album on, and it's ridiculous. It's old and nothing that I would ever use today. But, you know, I realize it works for him. He knows how to work that with the back of his hand. So he's comfortable, and that's how he can make his magic happen. And so, you know, a lot of gear, little gear, whatever works for you, just go with it, is what I say.
There's an article I read this week written by the engineer for one of the big clubs here in Los Angeles. It's entitled Seven Things You Can Do that Musicians Can Do to Make Their Engineers Happy. And the number one thing was, if you're into a lot of gear, know how to use it, because apparently a lot of people like to buy stuff and don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not you.
It's true. Sometimes you can feel safety in numbers, I guess, but it's absolutely true. And it's fun. I mean, I don't actually have that much stuff. I'm guessing the picture I have is from some studio we mixed in, but I do have my fair share. I don't buy that much new stuff anymore, but when I do it because I really, you know, I was had been reading about this new synth or sampler or whatever it is, and then I sit for a week and I try out every little thing on it, you know.
Oh. You said I hope that one of these days you get to come to L.A. to NAMM, where there are floors of all the equipment that you can look at and try out, and people there to help you. Well, let's talk about the new album, all right?
Let's.
Now, you've got it in the works, and it's the last installment of the Pop Propaganda series. Is that right?
Yes. It's been a much longer road than I anticipated, and it all started really because I was putting an album together a couple of years ago, and I had done, sketch demos of the ideas I had in my head, and I played them for my manager at the time, and I said, well, they're very different, the songs. They're almost like three, they don't go together on an album. What do I do? It's more like three different sounds. And he goes, well, I'll just put out three EPs. It'll be quick and it'll be fun for everyone. Yeah, it wasn't quick, but it was fun, I'll say that. But so it took a lot of longer. And, of course, a lot of the songs I had sketched out in the beginning and the idea kind of changed over time, as it should. And so, but, you know, I made a promise to put out three of these. And so this is number three. It'll come out June 10th, and it's called Elevation Junkie.
Elevation Junkie. Well, we happen to have, thanks to your generosity, a couple of songs from that. So we're going to play, I think this is one of those songs, this is called Fly Like That.
But most importantly, let's make sure to have fun.
Bring it to the left, then I dig to the right.
Well, first of all, the opening of that song is very interesting. I can't see how anybody listening to your music isn't having fun, right?
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Now, well, it's more to set the tone for the entire album. And it's not even an EP at this point. It turned into like a 12-song album.
That's a big album.
But, yes. Well,
yeah, a lot of people are putting out 10 now.
Yeah, something like that. But so, you know, the first Pop Propaganda was more like, okay, very dance heavy. And then the second one dealt with soul, electronic soul, as it may be. And this time I said, hey, you know, let's just have fun. Let's stir some stuff up. Let's walk through the fire and not around it. And let's just see what happens.
Well, the other thing I like, at least about what I've heard in this song, is that there's a lot more of your voice in this. And you've got a great voice. And I really liked it to hear how you use your voice to pull all these elements together. And it's just fun for me. Okay.
Well, that's great. I mean, I love to sing. And you know, so, I mean, that's what I do as a performer, you know, besides playing instruments and all that stuff. So I love using my vocal cords as an instrument and work that. But having an album of 10 to 12 songs with the same voice is not as interesting to me at times as when you have several different singers working together, be it Fleetwood Mac or even a boy band or Kiss or Beatles. It makes it a little more interesting for me. So I like to invite guest vocalists in to sing with me from time to time, which on Fly Like That, Cole, who sang on Come On You All, came in and did some vocals with me.
No, I completely agree with you. Do you ever produce for other people?
A little bit. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be fairly busy just keeping up my own machine, but we're going to get to the first single, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, later on. Mikey, who sings with me on that song, his band The Cav, I produced and wrote a song for instance. And I've done some stuff with Cole, and that's one of the ways how I meet great vocalists. I do a couple of projects here and there, and you go, oh, you have an interesting voice. Maybe can I record you? You know, can we do something?
You do have an interesting voice, and let's listen to a little more of it. This is Lux Punk.
I like it. I love it. Give me more. I like it. I love it. I like it. I love it. I like it. I love it. Give me more. I like it. I love it. I like it. I love it. I like it. I love it. Give me more. I like it. I love it. I like it. I love it. I like it. I love it.
Well, I think that should be the theme for the new album. Gimme, gimme, gimme more. I like it. I love it. Okay. And
yeah, I know.
That's going to be on the new album. So folks should go to your website, which is asamiland.com, and sign up for notifications. I've always been curious. When I go out to clubs here in L.A., there are DJs playing albums like yours, which have real lyrics, and your albums have real lyrics in them. They're not just a few words electronically repeated over and over again. There are always fans who sing along while they dance. Now, you write, like I said, you write real lyrics, like the words in that song. How do you encourage your fans to learn your words, or do you?
No, they just do it. And it's a great thrill when you do see or meet somebody who goes, oh, you know, they'll read your lyrics back to you, or you go to a club and you see people actually singing along. Or, you know, I don't perform live that much anymore, but when you did and you see that people recognize what you're doing, it's a great feeling.
We are talking with Salme about her new single and her upcoming album. You can talk with her, too. You can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com, or you can call in at 347-215-7511. I actually have a couple of emails here. Remy from New York City wants to know, are there any DJs who use a lot of your music?
Yes. And now I should name some names, right? Well, I've
yes.
worked with a bunch of DJs when I've done the remix stuff, the dance remixes. I had remixes for Come On Y'all, and I did dance remixes for a song of mine called So Delicious that went top 10 on the Billboard dance chart. So I'm sure you're all familiar with Junior Vasquez. He was one of Madonna's go-to guys.
Yeah.
He did a remix for me, and he plays my stuff, and I love him to death. He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, and what a professional. So there's plenty of them out there. Masi and DeLeon, Club Jumpers, done some stuff with them. Brad Smith.
So people who want to hear your music live and dance, they should follow particular DJs? Does that work that
They
way?
Should go up and nag whoever their favorite DJ is to play my stuff. And there's $20 in it from me to them if they do it.
We have to remember who the real customer is here. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Call promotion people. Yeah.
Okay. There's an interesting question that just came in from Beanie in St. Louis. Said, you've mentioned Gaga a couple of times. How influential is Gaga and her team throughout the music scene in New York City?
Well, New York City is a different animal. The scene here, a lot of people say we haven't had a good music scene in New York for decades, you know. Since Max Kansas City closed or something like that. But I may disagree with him. But, I mean, Gaga grew up here, as far as I know it, but I don't think her music has that much to do with New York, more than with the fact that she's a fantastic songwriter and a great performer. And, you know, this is where she lived, and she took the grittiness of the city and put it into her songs. But I don't think she was part of a scene in the city, as far as I know. You'd have to ask her, but as far as I know.
Okay, well, yeah, as soon as I can get her on the show, I'll do that. Right?
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, right, I'd like to. Marcy in Salt Lake, interesting, wants to know, what's a remix?
A remix is when let's say you hear a song on the radio by Lady Gaga, for instance, and it is that three-minute pop radio version, the one you get on the album. But then what they do is they take the vocals from that song and they give it out to a certain number of DJs or remixers who will take the vocals, the a cappella, so to speak, and they will create a new track around it that sounds completely different from the original. And usually it's the dance track. So you'll have something that will go well over in a club. And you can even take a ballad, that's originally a ballad, like Whitney Houston or something, a ballad. And once you just take the vocals, you can put a dance beat underneath it, and it becomes a completely different song.
So, Marcy, I would advise you to go to SamiLand.com and take a listen to some of the music there, and you'll hear a remix. You got a particular one you want a director to, Sami?
I think you should check out the Come On Y'all remixes. Should make you
okay.
happy on a Friday afternoon.
Okay. Well, something that makes me happy on a Friday morning, as it's here, Friday afternoon there, is my favorite song of yours. This is Bodies in Motion.
Drive all the
this song is so good. It's so cinematic. I just love it. I could hum to it all day. In fact, I do some days. Now, where did the instrumentation for that come from?
Oh, that's just me having fun in the studio. You know, some I try to write a lot of stuff where at the end of the day I'll say, all right, I got 30 minutes, and I'll start playing around with samples and just see what comes up, almost like free association, you know. And that was one of the skeletons that turned out good and that I built on. I like to have a lot of electronic instruments, really hard-hitting, snappy beats. But then I always want real instruments, too. So there's a lot of guitar on this one that I even managed to play myself. You know, so I mix it up with organic instruments, and I like the mix of those two.
You know, you mentioned that you like to have instruments that you put on and you actually learn to play guitar. Is the way you work, or the way people who do what you do work, is you have a lot of samples of different kinds of instruments in a computer file, and you bring those together with live stuff that you record yourself or other people record for you?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I work. I play a bunch of instruments. I started playing piano when I was 5. So I have that, and then I played guitar and I played drums. So I have a pretty good understanding of all those instruments and can play them, which also leads to you're able to play bass and, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, I like to play instruments. I might, once I've recorded them, I cut them up and I sample pieces of them and I tweak them and I do stuff, but they're generated from something that I played. I also use samples played by other people. Not every producer does both. Some rely only on samples that they have. They don't create their own, but I do enjoy doing that, you know, since I play instruments and I will that.
Okay. All right. I'd love, and I don't know, maybe you've done the video. It'd be kind of nice to have to be able to watch you put a song together. Have you ever done a video of that?
No, maybe I should. I should do like one of those GoPro things.
Yeah.
I'll think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we've got time for one more song, and you mentioned this earlier, and I do want to play it. I think we saved the best for last. This is your new single, a collaboration with Mikey P. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm dancing here in the studio. That is such
nice.
a great piece of music. That was so much fun. Now how did that? We've got a couple of minutes here. How did the two of you get together and put out a song together?
Oh, Mikey P has a band called The Cav, who are sort of the Black Eyed Peas of New Jersey. A very cool bunch of characters. And we got together because I produced a song for them. So when I wanted to do like a summery, a little more laid back, I wouldn't call it a ballad, but, you know, more of a laid back summer song. And I had the track and I was like, Mikey would be perfect for this. He is a very fun, loving, tongue-in-cheek character. And I just thought he would bring, you know, the right flavor to the song, which he did. I love what he did on this song.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a classic. That's an evergreen song as far as I'm concerned. Is that his band? Are we hearing his band in there?
No, it's just him. He's a
just
rapper.
Him. Okay,
you know?
All right.
And he actually, just to promote him, I think he has an album coming out on Tommy Boy Records this year.
Yeah.
So everybody should check it out. He's a really cool rapper, and so check it out.
Okay, well, we are about out of time here, and as always, it's been a lot of fun to talk with you, and I always learn stuff when I talk with you too. You're such a great guest. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming back and giving us your time. Tell us again where people should go to get your music.
Go to soulmayland.com. Sign up for the mailing list. I'll keep you posted. And the new album, Elevation Junkie, comes out June 10th. I'm going to start releasing songs for preview here in the next few weeks. So definitely sign up for the mailing list so you don't miss out. And I hope you like it.
Oh, well, we've heard two songs from it already. And already I know I like it. So, again, thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to the whole album coming out. And when it does come out, maybe you can come back on for 2 or 3 minutes and tell us about it.
I would love to.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's Salme Dahlstrom, or just Salme. And download the new single with Mikey P. It's called 12345. You can get it at Salme Land. You can also go to iTunes, and you can also stream her on Spotify, too. So the website again is salmeland.com, and sign up for the notification there for when the new album is out in June and when you can hear some of the new songs. While you're there, if you haven't already, add Pop Propaganda 1 and 2 to your playlist. You'll be glad you did, because Salme's music just keeps you moving. Well, you've been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan from the CyberStation USA Network, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates. If you like our Facebook page and you follow our Twitter feed, you'll get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartlebin. And our intern is Angeline Serrano. You can download this and other Music Friday programs at blogtalkradio.com Music Friday. And you can also download podcasts on iTunes. Next Friday, be here, because our guests are going to be the online phenomenon from Canada, electronic rock creator Jessica Dawn, and LA's torch song queen Irene Diaz. So check out our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we're going to keep you up to date on those guests. And meanwhile, have a great musical weekend.
And it's going to be another beautiful day here on planet Earth.